Do we need a royal commission into the bushfires? That is the question in many people's minds at the moment. Tensions are brewing between the states and the federal government over the Prime Minister's push for a national inquiry, possibly a royal commission, into this summer's bushfire crisis. A national review would look into potentially granting the Commonwealth greater powers during an emergency and would also investigate the role climate change played in this fire season. Scott Morrison says any investigation must be done in consultation with the states and territories, but New South Wales has already signalled it'll conduct its own inquiry, and now Victoria has announced a review of its own into the bushfires.
A review in two parts. The first will be about the preparedness prior to the fire season and the firefight itself. The second report will be about relief and recovery, and it will come to us in the middle of 2021.
That's Daniel Andrews, the Victorian Premier, speaking yesterday. Anne Toomey is a Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Sydney. And obviously, the question of the Constitution governing the relationship between the federal government and the states is a key question here. Anne Toomey, thanks so much for joining us on RN Breakfast.
You're welcome.
Do you think we need a royal commission into these fires?
I don't know. I think the problem with the royal commission is that it tends to be a fairly combative, lawyer expensive exercise. They make a lot of sense when what you're trying to do is reveal stuff that people have been hiding. So royal commissions into banks or unions or sexual abuse, those sorts of things. When the issue is really more one about government and government services and how well prepared they've been or how well they've been cooperating and the like, probably not so much a royal commission is needed, but some kind of other government inquiry that can bring together all the various pieces of information and then bring in experts and the like to try and get to the bottom of how best to deal with things. It's more a matter of developing policy than trying to, you know, ferret out secret things. So maybe not so much a royal commission, but certainly some kind of inquiry would obviously be important.
Well, the science minister's hosting a roundtable today of many leaders in the science community. Potentially they could thrash out some of the issues like the role of climate change there, because the science is relatively settled on the matter of the relationship between the federal government and the state governments. And I guess that complexity was sort of discussed by the Prime Minister in his consideration of calling up the Defence Force. He said the compulsory call-up of the 3,000 Defence Reservists pushed the Commonwealth to the very edge of extreme constitutional territory. Do you agree with that assessment?
Oh, I think it's actually quite interesting that the Prime Minister is admitting that. Normally the Commonwealth asserts it has all power. So that in itself was interesting. It is true that this is a bit of a difficult area under the Defence Act. The Defence Act is primarily supported by the Defence Power, and most of the stuff in it concerns defence. But it also has provision for the call out of the reserve forces in relation to, it says, civil aid, humanitarian assistance, medical or civil emergency or disaster relief. Now, we're familiar with the Australian Defence Forces doing that sort of role, you know, in the South Pacific when there's been a cyclone or a tsunami and the like, and the ADF obviously has good expertise in providing that kind of disaster relief. But that would be normally supported by the External Affairs Power, because that's something being done outside Australia to aid other countries. It becomes a little bit more tricky when you start doing it within Australia, so you need to look for some other kind of head of power to support it. And this is where we move out of the directly express heads of power into areas like the implied nationhood power. Now, I don't think anyone would dispute that the ADF do have capacities to deal with these sorts of things in Australia, but you've got to move into areas where you're saying, well, we're implying this is a nationhood power, something that only the Commonwealth can deal with in these circumstances that the states aren't able to. And then that means that the scope of your power is a little bit more vague, it's more uncertain because it's not expressed and clear in the Constitution. And that means that, yeah, you are at the edges of your constitutional power, but again, I doubt anyone would ever try and dispute that the Commonwealth does have power to deal with these sorts of emergencies.
Right. So if there's no dispute over whether the Commonwealth has the power to use the Defence Force to help deal with these kind of emergencies, why on earth would we need to explore that in a royal commission?
Well, I think what we do need to explore is how best to cooperate in relation to these things. I mean, obviously, we saw this time that The point at which the troops are called out seemed to be a bit later than probably was necessary. We also saw the lack of coordination in terms of the fire commissioner stating that nobody bothered to tell him. Clearly, we need to have some kind of cooperative measures involved. Now, that could be done under legislation. So one way of dealing with this sort of thing and making it all a lot clearer would be, for example, for the states to be able to refer some matters to the Commonwealth and allow the Commonwealth to legislate expressly in relation to them. And that can be done under the Constitution, under Section 5137. But what I think is really important is that we do the same sorts of cooperative exercises that the Commonwealth and the states have done for a long time in relation to terrorism and violence and those sorts of things. Back before the Sydney Olympics, for example, when there was a concern that there might be a terrorism attack, we did lots of exercises between the Commonwealth and the states to make sure, for example, that everyone was using the same frequency when they were communicating, that you had the right sort of command structures, that everybody knew what everyone was doing and could cooperate properly. So we have those structures in place in relation to terrorism and violence in Australia. We probably could do with improving or creating those kind of structures in relation to national disasters, particularly given the changing environment and the prospect of natural disasters increasing over time.
So what would be the best way to do that? Would that require greater constitutional powers for the Commonwealth, or is it just about better communication and coordination, or could there be other legislation that could bring that about?
I think it's a mixture of all three. I think you probably do need some legislation to create clarity in relation to these things. I mean, the fact that the Prime Minister says that we're on the edge of our power and there was uncertainty as to how far the Commonwealth could go suggests that we do need to clarify that, get legislation in place to make all that clear.
But you suggested that wasn't really the case, that the Commonwealth really does ultimately have the implied power to do what they did.
It has implied power to deal with matters that only the Commonwealth is capable of dealing with, but the difficulty in all of this is knowing where the edges of that are. So it'd be preferable for everybody if there was some legislation that was in place that had clear support, like by way of a reference from the states, that had the cooperation of all the Commonwealth and the states, so that everybody knows exactly what the rules are and how things can be done.
All right. That's Professor Anne Toomey. And we're going to hit the news. So thank you so much for your time and your insight there. Professor Toomey is an expert in constitutional law at the University of Sydney.